The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 23. The state of Connecticut is home to both the world's first hamburger, 1895, and the world's first color TV, 1948. I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon. If you feel your Dublin heart is burning, yeah, well, you don't. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast. Today we've got an awesome guest for you, one of the world's most recognizable travel figures. He was even the host of his own TV show on the Travel Channel, and really he's one of the nicest guys in the travel industry, Johnny Jett, who will be giving us some of the best tips and tricks for traveling well and, of course, traveling cheap that he's learned over the last 18 years. Wow, that is a long time that he has been running his website. But before we get to that, if you haven't already, make sure you go grab your copy of my completely free Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire series. You can get that by going to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free, and that will start you down the path of frequent flyer riches. Like I said, it's completely free. It will also give you access to our email list, and I'm always sending out the best deals to that email list. I was just able to score $125 round trip tickets from New York to Milan, which we're going to be discussing in the show. So if you want to make sure you hop on those type of deals as soon as they come up, make sure you're on our email list, because I'll always send that stuff out to the email list, even if I don't have time to make a post on the actual site. So you can get that by extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. And without further ado, let's dive right into this episode. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is a man who is one of the world's original travel bloggers, has hosted a show on the Travel Channel, and has one of the world's coolest nicknames, Johnny Jett of JohnnyJett.com. Johnny, thanks so much for coming on the show, and welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
And just so we're clear here, your last name isn't actually Jett, correct?
It is not my legal name, but everyone in the travel world knows me as Johnny Jett. Not too many people know me as Di Scala.
Yeah,
I grew up in Connecticut. I have an Italian last name.
Johnny Jett rolls off the tongue much easier. So
everyone remembers Johnny Jett, but not too many people remember Di Scala.
Exactly. And one of the things I originally remembered about your website when I first got there was I like to read the about page of everyone when I go to a website. And I remember you talking about your anxiety and fear surrounding travel when you were younger, which was interesting to me because I felt the same way. I didn't like getting on planes. I was nervous about getting on planes, you know, for whatever reason. And you had that, and now you've grown your website to the size it is now. Could you fill us in a little bit about how you went from walking away from a trip to Australia when you're 17 to becoming one of the world's foremost travel experts?
Well, you know what? You know, I grew up in Connecticut, and I was always fascinated with travel. I mean, it just blew me away, and it still does today, that these planes can get off the ground. I mean, it's amazing, especially to go from freezing cold Connecticut in February to hot and sunny Florida. I mean, it was like in 2 hours.
Right.
You know, it feels like a dream machine. And so anyway, I loved it, but we didn't travel very much growing up. I probably flew, you know, under 10 times until I was in high school, actually even late high school. And then I talked my mom into this incredible trip to go to Australia. My sisters were living there at the time, which is another long story. But my, you know, we never traveled internationally. Okay. My parents had never been. Hey, my dad went to Europe a couple times, but my mom never went, you know, went out of the country except I think Bermuda on her honeymoon or Bahamas. And then when I talked her into going on this trip, Crocodile Dundee just came out, and that was like, you know, one of the big travel inspirations for me, you know, to go to Australia. And I used to leave pictures on her pillow every night and say, "Hey, let's go to Australia." And she's like, "You're crazy." Finally, I was able to do it. So I talked her into it, and when we're just about to go, you know, we're getting ready for the trip, and she's like, "Let's take you to the asthma doctor to make sure, you know, you're all clear." Because I was just recently diagnosed with asthma.
All right.
So I went to this doctor, and she's like, "You're going to Australia? You know, that's a 27-hour flight. you might have a hard time breathing because planes are pressurized. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What does pressurized mean? And, you know, regardless, we get to the airport the next day or 2 days later, and I'm having an anxiety attack because it's in the back of my head. I'm like, yeah, I won't be able to breathe on a plane.
Right. The doctor told you that, you know?
Yeah. So I had this full blown anxiety attack. And when I told my mom I couldn't go to Australia, she thought I couldn't get on the plane. She thought I was joking. I mean, we're going on a dream trip. We're going New York, San Francisco, Hawaii, Sydney, Perth, Sydney, Fiji, LA, and then back. This is for my high school spring break. I was going to take an extra week off from school. And so when I told my mom I couldn't go, she really thought I was joking. And then when she realized I wasn't joking because I had tears in my eyes, she started crying because, you know, we just spent all this money and, you know, we were all set to go. And then my dad started crying because he thought he was going to have the house to himself for 2 weeks. Oh. And next thing you know, I couldn't get on the plane, but my parents were great about it. They said, you know, my mom used to come in my room for the first couple of days of that spring break saying, hey, you want to at least try to go to Hawaii? I'm like, and I would just sit there going, how am I saying no to this?
Right.
And then they brought me to all kinds of psychiatrists, and that did not work out well. And then they finally brought me to a homeopathic doctor, which back then was really unheard of.
Sure.
And he's like, you're on way too much medication. That's what's giving you the anxiety, besides, you know, the dumbass doctor who told you that the planes are pressurized. And so he started weaning me off a little bit of my medication. And, you know, my anxiety went away. It took a few years. And then I finally got out. And it's another long story how I got out of that, but I don't want to take up all your time.
Well, and then I assume at this point you have been to Australia then.
I've been numerous times. Unfortunately, my mom passed away and she had never been. And it, you know, whenever I, you know, I do a lot of public speaking and I always bring my mom up and I always talk about that because a lot of people, you know, can relate to being afraid to fly and all right. that stuff. And I always start bawling in the middle of my speech. And I just can't help it. I mean, I was actually surprised I did everything I could not to bawl today. But it kills me to know that my mom had never got the chance to go to Australia.
Well, like you, I said I was scared, or not scared of flying. I got sick, kind of anxiety, stuff like that. I wasn't really scared of what was going to happen. I guess I just didn't like it. And my sister, I have a twin sister. She was 17. She went on a trip to Australia. So did all my friends as a school trip. And I end up staying home. So much the same story as you. But since then, I've gotten over that, and now I fly a bunch as do you. And I've been to Australia, so I guess all is well that ends well with that.
Yeah, I mean, I love going to Australia, and I think I've been 7 or 8 times.
Okay.
And I hope to go next year.
Yeah, very cool. And obviously, travel defines your life at this point. What is it? And you touched on a little bit before, but what is it about travel that keeps you doing it over and over again? Because I get this question asked of myself a lot, and you're a little older than me and have done more traveling, but people kind of say, are you over traveling, or when is that going to be done, right? As if it's a finite thing. What keeps drawing you in and into travel, and why do you keep doing it?
Right. Everyone told me that I was going to get burned out because I travel almost 100 flights a year, usually around 150,000 miles. You know, last year was 175, which is a lot. I know there's other people who do 300, 400, which I think they're out of their minds.
Right. That's a lot, no matter how you slice it. There's people who do more, but that's a lot.
I have no desire. I turn down trips every day, and it kills me to turn down some of these trips, but I try and pick and choose. And, you know, the way I'm able to do it, I think, is because I've learned a lot of the tricks on how to travel well. So, you know, I learned how to get exit row seats and bulkhead. You know, I'm not crammed in the middle seat, you know, in the back of the plane like I used to be. Right. Believe me, I used to be, and once in a great while, it still does happen. But I learned, you know, how to do that. I don't check bags, which also is a huge hassle when you travel because you have to show up early. You have to wait around, which feels like an eternity after a flight. So I learned all that. I have TSA PreCheck. I have Global Entry. I have Nexus.
So you make it as easy as possible on yourself from when you get to the airport and then the actual flying and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I live in Los Angeles now. So for me to get to the airport, I live close to the airport. So it takes me, you know, 15 minutes max. And I know all the ins and outs of the airport. You know, when I grew up in Connecticut, just getting to JFK or LaGuardia or Newark or White Plains, actually not White Plains, but the other ones, it was just such a hassle.
Sure.
And that was even more of a hassle than it was to fly. Now I don't even think flying is a hassle usually, because I can try and get upgraded when you fly a lot in certain airlines. And, you know, I try and pick the off peak times to travel. Like, I'm not traveling this week for Thanksgiving. And
yeah,
you know, you just got to be wise.
Very true. Very true. And one of the things I love about your site is that you've made it one of your life goals. You talk about on almost every one of your pages that you think travels for everyone, and that your website isn't just for people flying 100 times a year or people wanting to fly once a year. It's tips and tricks that you just shared, some of them, for everyone to use to make a better travel experience. Why do you think that people should get out and travel more? Like, what does travel do for someone who doesn't get to travel a lot? How does it help them?
You know, I never traveled. I never understood. I was, you know, I had a lot of opinions. I might have even been prejudiced back then of, you know, thinking about, you know, you hear about Middle East or all this stuff. And a lot of my friends who have never traveled and never been to those areas, you know, they just watch the news and all, they think everyone's bad in those areas. But, you know, once you go there, you realize, you know, the people are amazing. And it's just a few radicals like there are here in America,
right,
that actually kind of give the name a bad place. And I just, as corny as it sounds, I believe that if everyone traveled the world, you know, the world would be that much better of a place. There would be no stereotypes. And people would realize that people are people everywhere in the world. And it's just a few bad apples that kind of ruin it for certain places.
Yeah, 100% agree. And as you said, maybe it sounds corny. It certainly doesn't sound corny to me, because that's one of the things that I take with my site and the podcast, is just getting people out there to travel, because it's not very often. I don't even know if it's ever happened where someone's come back to me after they've taken a trip and been like, that really sucks, right? Like, I hated that part of it.
Right.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And I used to watch the news, and I remember my first trip to Malaysia, and I was so nervous about getting, you know, I don't do drugs. I did smoke pot in high school. That's why I was like, can't say never. And I had friends, by the way, who do smoke and all that stuff. So when I was going to Malaysia, I first went to Sweden. And before my flight to Malaysia, I just remember emptying my bag, checking every single pocket just to make sure that no one in the hotel planted something. And I locked all my bags up, because all my friends were watching the news and saying, oh my God, you're going to Malaysia. You're going to get your head cut off if they bust you with drugs and stuff. I'm like, well, I don't do drugs, but I just want to make sure that no one would plant anything. And then, you know, I get to these places and I actually feel safer in some of these countries than I do in America, which is sad, but it's true. And even Israel, you know, I felt safer in Israel than I do in America. And people can't believe it. But when I go to Target and stores, not just Target, but any kind of store or public place, I'm always thinking, you know, is someone going to bust out a, you know, a rifle and start shooting everyone? And I think America, by the way, is only, I think it's ranked like number 43rd in the world in terms of safety.
Right. And I 100% agree with you on that as well. It's weird and it's hard to describe, but when you do get to a place, I mean, I've gotten to plenty of countries where I was there the first time. I mean, obviously you're going to and go to places for the first time. And these aren't always first world countries, like you mentioned, like Sweden or anything. Like you said, Malaysia, Thailand, Cambodia. But I've never felt, I mean, I might have felt a little uneasy because I didn't know what was happening in my surroundings, but I didn't feel, right. I wasn't fearful. And I think a lot of that has to do with the personality of the people in a lot of those different countries, you know, because they are so giving. And even though they don't have a lot, they are so giving. I think that's a very important part that I've taken away from my travels, is that it's not how much people have, but it's how much you're willing to give to people that they don't know. And you find that happening way more in other countries than in America a lot of times.
For sure. And, you know, it's funny because you go to some of these poorer places, and the people who have nothing, and they're the ones that are giving the most. And I think I read somewhere that, you know, supposedly the poorest people are the happiest people.
Right.
Which really doesn't make sense to most
our
of us.
Yeah.
But it's true, you know.
Yep.
Everywhere I go, they seem so happy because they have the most important thing, and that's family. Family and friends and health, and, you know, you can't buy that stuff.
Yeah, and they're not worried about a lot of the issues that we're worried about, which comes with money, you know, stuff like that. There isn't that worry. For them, they're happy if they have a meal or if, you know, they have the roof over their head, where, you know, if we didn't have a meal or a roof over our head, you know, our world would be in shambles. But to them, it's kind of like everyday life. So, Yeah.
Right. I'm with you.
So one of the cool things about your site is I do love that it's kind of a one-stop shop when it comes to travel. And you pass on a ton of great travel deals. I've used a ton myself. What are some of the most memorable ones that you've seen come up and that you've helped people book or get over the years? Because you've been doing this now since, what was it, 2000, I think?
I started my newsletter in 1995 and then my website in 99.
Right. Okay.
And then USA Today wrote about me. Laura Bly from USA Today wrote about the site when she heard about it in 2000, a few months after I launched it. And that's when it really took off. But, you know, some of the most memorable deals were actually, one was yesterday. I just actually got an email an hour ago from a reader saying, thank you so much for your posting this in your deals newsletter. I have three different newsletters now, by the way. I have a weekly newsletter, and then I have a daily tip newsletter, and I have a deals newsletter. So whenever there is a deal, it just goes out. So there's no schedule for it. So, you know, the other day, did you see that fare? You know, there was like $150 each
right.
way to Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
And $740 to Australia from LA. So I quickly sent that out. And then today someone just sent me emails. Thank you so much. I just bought a ticket New York to Milan for $250 round trip, including everything.
Yeah, I just got in New York to Milan. It was $125 for myself and $125 for my wife, so $250 for two people total, and
each way,
each round trip. So it was $250 for two tickets round trip.
Are you kidding me?
I got in early, and then they started going incrementally up. Direct flight round trip on United from EWR to Milan and back.
And you booked that through Norwegian?
Yeah, I booked that through the Norwegian site, and I actually just got confirmed like 10 hours ago. It's 36 hours from when I booked it to when they actually ticketed it. So
wow. And when is that trip? Is it what month?
I'm going in January. So I got it when it was the cheapest, like mid-January sometime.
I cannot believe you got it for $250.
Yeah, I would say that is one of the best ones that I've seen as well.
You can't go into New York City and go see a play.
Yeah, I couldn't
have dinner.
I couldn't drive from Philly to your old place up in Connecticut for $125, you know?
That's amazing. Good for you. So, yeah, there's always good deals. Everyone says all the deals are gone, but I don't believe it. So, with today's social media, the trick is to follow, all the airlines, follow all the bloggers on Twitter, follow them on Facebook, sign up to everyone's newsletter, all the airlines, again, all the bloggers and the and the different websites.
Yeah. And the good thing about the deals now is if someone mentions it on Twitter, it's going to get trickled down. I mean, I'm sure there was probably, 10,000 people probably saw that deal yesterday. And, they're not all coming from one website. Everyone kind of helps each other out. If I see you post something, I'll link back to it, vice versa. And I think that's a cool thing about social media is you don't have to be with everyone. Just make sure you're following kind of the big ones.
Without a doubt. And, and with Flyer Talk and MilePoint and all these different forums, it's kind of like the travel hackers or bloggers or whatever you want to call them, travel enthusiasts, which I like to call them.
Yeah, enthusiasts. That's a good way to put it.
We're kind of like an army because everyone's looking, and once they find it, they share it.
Yeah, because, right. Like, I sent it out to all my readers as well because it's cool that I can book trips, but it's awesome that people are writing back and saying, I'm going now, maybe we can meet up, this and that, because why would you want to keep something to yourself? And obviously that's why you started your site way back when you did.
Exactly. I mean, my biggest thing was just, I never did it for a job. I never did it to make money. It was just a labor of love. I never even dreamed that I would be doing what I'm doing today. I mean, it's just honestly is a complete dream. And I thank God every night. I really do that. It's amazing that I'm able to do what I do, but I started it. All I was doing was link. I had a website, and I just put every kind of link out there to show everyone what's available, so they can travel the world. Because I had so many fears. I was not only afraid to fly. I was actually afraid to leave the house at times. After that, that first doctor's appointment with the anxiety and stuff. So I just feel so lucky to be able to travel the world, and even when I'm. Even here in Los Angeles, where I am today, I'm like, my God, I'm in LA. I'm still so happy to be here.
Right.
And everywhere. So, I mean, that's the big thing. It's like, I'm not jaded. I know there's a lot of travelers who are jaded. The only time I ever kind of become perturbed is when, there's a lot of delays or you're stuck somewhere and you really need to be somewhere.
Sure. Yeah. Stuff that I think
sick.
Would push everyone a little bit over the edge. I really like that about your site and your enthusiasm for travel, is that it's not like I've been doing this since 1995 or 2000. And yeah, that's a long time for someone to be, like you said, a labor of love with a site. And now, fortunately enough, you get to do it as your job. I get to do it as my job, and that's great. But I love that you still have that little kid enthusiasm about travel. And the one thing that continues to hit home is you say the number one tip that you can give someone about how to make travel easier is just to be nice to everyone you see. And if you just want to expand on that a tiny bit, because I know you have some thoughts on that, about how you're able to just why you do that and why that's beneficial and how it kind of helps everyone.
For sure. Well, I was very fortunate to grow up in a loving family. I had the best parents, or my mom was the best mother, and my dad's still around, although he just turned 85 and he's slowing down a bit, but I just took him to Vegas for his 85th birthday this past week, and he's out here with me now. And anyway, I was lucky to grow up in a family who taught me good values and to, you know, always be nice to everyone. You know, I had my grandfather came over from Italy. He had $18 in his pocket. He was a garbage man when he started, and then he became a barber, and then he worked his way up, and he became a real estate tycoon. But he was always nice to everybody he spoke to. No, he treated everyone the same. If it was the janitor or the president, he would treat them the same. And that was kind of instilled in me, and I still feel strongly about that. And so I think that's my biggest tip, is always be nice to everyone all the time. But you should especially be nice to gate agents, reservation agents, and flight attendants.
Right. The people who always get the short end of the stick for everything, because they're kind of on the front lines.
Everyone's always giving them a hard time. So when someone comes up to them and is nice to them, genuinely nice to them, smile. And I actually stepped it up one notch. I actually almost always bring a box of chocolates or a bag of chocolates, you know, for the gate agents, for the flight attendants. And you can go to Target and buy them for like $3.
Right. I remember you writing a post about that. And I thought, man, this is like, that's just such a nice, selfless thing to do. You're not looking for anything. You're just really trying to make someone's day better.
Well, and I also I was engaged to a flight attendant actually 10 years ago. So I met her on a flight and we went out for 4 years. So, I mean, I know how bad or how tough these jobs are. You know, she would come back and she'd fly like 8 times LA, Chicago in a week. And these guys are not making a lot of money.
Right.
And they're doing it, you know, they started out just to do it because they love to travel and the perks. But, you know, all their perks are starting to go away. And, right. You know, airlines are just making it a lot more miserable for people. They're putting more seats in. So these guys, you know, it's not as much fun for them anymore, but now they're kind of stuck or whatever. Or they still do it for the perks or the insurance. And so now, you know, when you're nice to them, they honestly will treat you like a rock star.
That's great. And I do think you're one of the only people that I've read out of all the people out there who makes it very apparent that kind of champions that. I know a lot of people are nice to you know, gate agents, but I do like that you've put that out there and said, I do this and here's why. And we all, you know, if we all did, obviously it'd make their lives a lot better. So.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, flight attendants love me. Even when I don't give them stuff.
Well, you're engaged to one, so.
I was, yeah. I used to be. But, they love me because I'm nice to them.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't bother them when they're trying to do their service. And if it's a long flight, you know, I used to do L.A., New York every other week when my mom was sick for 3 years. So I would go right after they do their meal service. And back then, we didn't have computers or go-go internet on the plane. So I would just go back after their service and hang out with them in the galley and talk for, you know, we talked most of the flight.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they're bored.
Right. Of course. Yeah. They do that flight every day. So yeah, that's really cool, Johnny. I really appreciate that. And one of the things about with flying so often, and I know it's kind of to us, it's funny because we're ingrained in this culture, is the idea of frequent flyer miles. And I think it's easy to forget that, you know, 80% of the people out there don't use them. And I know you write a lot about them on your site, as do I. Why do you think it is that a lot of people don't use them or don't want to use them or are scared to use them, even though you and I both know that, you know, you can travel around the world for almost free by taking advantage of this,
right,
these rewards?
Well, for some people, it's just a hassle. They think, you know, they can't be bothered, even though it literally takes a minute to sign up to the program, store the number in your computer or your phone or wherever. and just remember to put that in. So even, I mean, I always tell people, even if you're just flying once LA, New York, and you fly once every 5 years, still sign up for that program because right. at least you can get some magazines for free.
Right, right.
Other people, you know, they think the government's watching them. I mean, just a very small amount of people think that, but I've heard that before from a couple of people that, or the airlines are just trying to get their data, whatever. I mean, who cares? Yeah. But I actually like the emails when they send them, you know, for different deal offers and everything. I mean, I get so many emails a day because I sign up for everything.
Right.
But I think that's another reason. And I just don't think people have taken the time to realize the value. You know, you sign up for some different credit cards and, you know, I'm able to get upgraded and fly, you know, first class around the world, not because I'm rich, because I'm not. It's
right.
because I'm savvy with my miles.
Yeah, I think that's the big one is that I know up until 2 years ago, I had heard about frequent flyer miles. You know, I knew what they were, but I had never used them. I didn't have any of them. And when I found out, I thought this is too good to be true. Luckily, it wasn't. And, you know, in the corresponding 2 years, I, you know, start a site around it and, you know, I've earned $2 million and fly wherever I want. But I do think you're right. Most people think it's too good to be true, or they don't understand the value behind it, and they don't take that 2 or 3 hours to kind of just learn the very basics. I mean, you could get go from knowing nothing to getting a flight in probably 3 hours worth of, you know, what we want to call studying or kind of reading up. So,
without a doubt. But one of my second biggest tip, by the way, is if you are going to play that game, especially the credit card game, you have to make sure that you can pay your bills off every month. If you can't do it, do not sign up for a travel rewards card, because you are just going to get yourself in deep trouble. It's not going to be worth it. And that actually happened to me, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago when I first started out and learning about these different tricks. I got myself in credit card debt, and I was, it took me a few years to get out of that hole.
Right.
Yeah. So just make sure that you can pay your bills off every month.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. As people who come to my site know, I have that right up at the top. Don't, you know, if you're in credit card trouble or you think you are, don't go down this route. Always check your credit score, stuff like that. Johnny, last question before we let you go here. You've been to a bunch of places. Where's the one place that you've never been to yet that you're itching to go to?
Vietnam. You know, I've never been to Vietnam, and I've never been to Burma.
Any plans in the near future?
Yeah, actually, I'm supposed to be going in a few months. We'll see if it happens. But my goal is I try to go to 20 countries a year. Unfortunately, I go to a lot of the same ones over and over. So I try to go at least 5 new countries a year.
Okay. Yeah. Vietnam and Burma. I've never been to either as well. I've been to Thailand, Malaysia, Cambodia, but I've never gotten out that way. So.
And I love Southeast Asia.
Yeah, I can't talk. We could talk about Southeast Asia for hours, I'm sure, me and you. But very cool, Johnny. Do you have any other tips other than frequent flyer miles here? Is there any? Can you leave anyone with a few tips of how you save money when you're traveling that seem, you know, that are pretty easy to do?
You got to be flexible. The number one tip is to save money is to be flexible. You know, if you're traveling over the holidays, you know, especially Thanksgiving, if you're trying to leave Wednesday and come back Sunday or Monday, you're not going to save money. There's no don't even try and get a deal. If you want to get a deal, be flexible. Use your vacation days wisely. Leave the week before and come back the week after or whatever, or try and work remotely. So you definitely want to be flexible. Also, not only with your dates, but you want to be flexible with your airports. So if you're flying to South Florida, don't just look at Miami. Look at Fort Lauderdale. It's usually a lot cheaper to fly to Lauderdale. And every city, almost every city has an alternate airport. And I actually created a website called alternateairports.com, which lists them all out and the actual driving miles
in
the U.S. And so if you're going to San Francisco, look at Oakland or San Jose. LA, there's Long Beach, there's Burbank, which is usually more expensive. But I mean, there's alternate airports everywhere. So
you want to
be flexible with your dates, your airports, and also your times. When you're doing a flight search, don't put in, you know, you want to fly at like 5 p.m. after your work or whatever. Just put in any time, because if it shows up at 6 a.m. that it's $300 cheaper, you're going to jump on it. Or at least I would.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. And we'll make sure to link up that alternate airports as well as your site and all in the show notes here. So thanks so much for coming on the show, Johnny. It's been awesome to kind of pick the brain of one of the web's original and most respected travel experts. Before I let you go, can you just remind people one more time, how can they come find you?
Well, my website's johnnyjett.com, johnnyjett.com, and my Twitter is Johnny Jett. My Facebook's Johnny Jett. My Instagram's Johnny Jett. My Google Plus is Johnny Jett.
Johnny Jett all across the board. And guys,
Pinterest, Johnny Jett.
If you haven't, make sure to sign up the newsletter. He's got a few, and they're all really great, and I like when they come to my inbox every Wednesday. So, Johnny, once again, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Well, there you have it, guys. Some absolutely awesome stuff from the man himself, Johnny Jett. Make sure you take a page out of his playbook. Treat the staff and the airline stewardesses, as well as the gate staff, treat them well. They deserve it. Also, if you really want to go one step further, I love his idea of buying chocolates for them. They'll treat you like a rock star. Cool stuff from Johnny Jett. Also, don't forget, we talked a lot about frequent flyer miles in this episode and how you can get deals with frequent flyer miles, and then how you can find these awesome deals that pop up, like the $125 mistake fare. So if you want to start being able to travel around the world, travel much more than you normally could while spending a lot less money, make sure you head on over extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. That will give you my, like I said, completely free guide, the Frequent Flyer Millionaire series. You'll be able to download that, and you'll also then make sure that you're on the email list to get updates when these type of deals pop up. Thanks for joining us again on another great episode of the Extra Pack of Peanuts podcast, and until next time, happy free travels.